Your beads are your visual and tangible stories of courage. We have kids who show and tell their beads at school. We consider it a form of narrative medicine.
Welcome to Heart with Anna. I am Anna Jaworski. My child was born with a critical congenital heart defect, which has required 3 open heart surgeries. My heart warrior is now 27 years old, and this is early 2022. And he's my inspiration, and I'm so honored to be the host of your program. Today's show is Beads of Courage for Congenital Heart Defect or CHD Warriors. And our guests are Beth Monick and Brianna Hartman. Beth has 6 years' experience working on a cardiac intensive care unit and acute care unit, and cardiac intensive care unit and cardiac clinic as a child life specialist at Children's Hospital of Pittsburgh. For the past 7.5 years, she has been working with the Beads of Courage program, a not-for-profit organization who partners with clinicians from hospitals in the United States and worldwide to provide innovative arts and medicine programs to support the emotional well-being of young people coping with serious illnesses. Brianna Hartman is a recipient of the Beads of Courage program. She has an atrial septal defect, or ASD, that was repaired at 6 months of age, and she is currently experiencing problems with her aortic valve and her blood pressure. She is 32 years old and lives in Minnesota. In her spare time, she loves to play music, paint, pour, and hang out with her nieces and family. Welcome to Heart with Anna, Beth, and Brianna.
Thank you, Anna, for having us here today.
Thank you, Anna. We're excited to be here with you.
Oh, I'm excited to have you here too, Brianna. Let's get started with Beth. And Beth, I'm hoping you can tell us why you became involved with the Beads of Courage program.
Well, Anna, I'm a certified child life specialist, like you mentioned earlier. And when I was working with kids and teens and families in the cardiac areas at the hospital, it was my job to provide psychosocial and emotional support. So child life specialists can do this in many ways, such as providing developmentally appropriate preparation and explanation for experiences and procedures mm-hmm. that they are about to have, to practicing and facilitating coping strategies to help them get through those procedures or maybe manage pain or anxiety, mm-hmm. to providing normalization experiences. So when you get into the hospital, a lot of those normal things that you love are often taken away or right. not able to happen. And so we work hard to bring those back or modify it in some way to make things seem a little bit more familiar and normal while mm-hmm. you're there.
Right. I remember when Alex was in the hospital as an infant, the child life specialist brought a little mobile that we could put in the bed so he would have something to look at that was more familiar, something that was like what he would see at home.
I can tell you, I love supporting development. And in the cardiac area, there were so many times that heartbroken parents would say, I was looking forward to doing all of these things with my baby. And now look, I can't. And I said, well, what are those things? And maybe it wasn't all of the things, but there were a few things we could bring back. And so bring right. your mobile to the hospital, or what little thing were you looking forward to having in the bedside near them? So we were really excited to work with the families to help them just have some sense of normalcy, whatever it is specific to each one. That goes along with the emotional support too, right? So mm-hmm. we want people to feel supported and encouraged. And that's really where the Beads of Courage program came in and what I did. So for 6 years, I was able to provide the Beads of Courage program, which honored the courage that both myself and all of my hospital colleagues saw several times a day through the gift of beads. And so with the Beads of Courage program, each bead represents a moment for courage, a lot of things that people have to experience. So for example, every overnight day, needle pokes, surgery, x-rays, infusions. The idea behind the program is that when people are suffering, when they're feeling intense challenges, they're put in a position like that, it's difficult to see that right alongside some of those negative feelings that you might have, that there's courage and strength. And so mm-hmm. it was our job as caring clinicians, it was my honor to help them see their courage, that what they might have felt seemed invisible, the beads of courage make it visible. So incredible to look at someone's extremely long strand of beads of courage and say, wow, look at all your courage. You've been through a lot, but look how strong and brave you are. So please never forget that. Your beads are your visual and tangible stories of courage. We have kids who show and tell their beads at school. We consider it a form of narrative medicine. So research that shows when you're suffering, you feel alone and you have a need to tell your story. And you can do that through narration. And beads become that visual and tangible way to tell your story of courage.
I just love that. That's so beautiful. And it really helps me to understand better what this program is trying to do. It's honoring the children and the parents for what they're going through, but it's also giving you a way to put words on what the children are experiencing. Okay, so I'm a very visual person. And while you're saying all this, I'm thinking, do they have a room in the back where they have jars and jars of beads? You said as a clinician, you give them the beads. Is this something like at shift change? You would go back and pick out the beads for that day? Or how does that work exactly?
Our child life specialists on our program team provide a training for the staff so they can see that it's an evidence-based program based on research that helped to develop the program, to learning about what are the anticipated outcomes and even goals for the program. So for example, another goal was that for clinicians, we always want to have a strong therapeutic and supportive relationship with the kids and families we support. And we know that through the use of the Beads of Courage program, they begin to strengthen that therapeutic relationship. That when people receive beads from one of their clinicians, nurses, doctors, child life, it helps you realize, wow, they really care for me. Not only do they care about supporting my medical condition, but they care about me. They care about my emotions. And that's really important to us who work in the hospital. And I'm sure to the people receiving the support services. And we package up all the beads in nicely organized containers so that when a clinician who's also very busy needs to give the Beads of Courage program, everything's nicely organized. And the way they distribute is kind of based on the clinician. It could be during shift change. Some people will bring our Beads of Courage. We call it the mobile bead pharmacy cart, a little materials cart around.
Oh my gosh, that sounds neat.
As a child life specialist, I did it as needed. You know, I loved Beads of Courage so much. I actually thought I'd stay in the hospital. I loved being a child life specialist in the cardiac areas. But the opportunity to now work for Beads of Courage instead of at the hospital was a way for me as a child life specialist to now work in a community-based setting, which is where a lot of child life professionals are now working. It's the way the field is developing that these community-based organizations are finding the value of child life in their organizations. So I started on the program team at Beads of Courage and have now been promoted to assistant executive director, where I work closely with the executive director to lead the organization on all fronts. And so the executive director and I provide support to all of our directors that work on our program, operations, finance, communications, and development teams. For example, with our program team, who is made up of child life specialists and nursing staff, I support their goals to provide outreach, to support the clinicians who are using our Beads of Courage programs. It's over 400 Beads of Courage programs worldwide. These clinicians and hospitals are what we consider our partners in caring. So together, we sustain and further develop the Beads of Courage flagship program standard of care and best practice at these hospitals.
Over 400 programs. So how many people around the world are you actually working with?
We have over 300 hospitals worldwide. So for each Beads of Courage program, there's usually a small handful of main contacts that our child life staff are regularly supporting. And then it's their responsibility within their own organization to kind of feed that support to everybody. So I'm not really good at math, but yes, thousands of people.
I'm just stunned. And all of this has occurred in less than 20 years.
Yes. Beads of Courage's birthday is next year and it'll be our 20th birthday. So what once started as one Beads of Courage program at Phoenix Children's Hospital is now worldwide with over 400 Beads of Courage programs.
This content is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. The opinions expressed in the podcast are not those of Hearts Unite the Globe, but of the hosts and guests, and are intended to spark discussion about issues pertaining to congenital heart disease or bereavement.
You are listening to Heart to Heart with Anna. If you have a question or comment that you would like addressed on our show, please send an email to Anna Jaworski at anna@hearttoheartwithanna.com. That's anna@hearttoheartwithanna.com. Now, back to Heart to Heart with Anna.
In the first segment, we talked to Beth about the Bees of Courage program, but now we're going to talk to Brianna, who is a recipient of the program. Brianna, we all know that you have CHD. When in your CHD journey did you find out about the Bees of Courage program?
I first found out about the Bees of Courage program when I was an adult. When I had my surgery, I was 6 months old, and this wasn't a thing yet. There was no Bees of Courage program at that point. So when I was with a group on Facebook called the Zipper Sisters, it's all adult female women who have congenital heart defects. Someone had posted in there talking about their journey and how they started Bees of Courage. And it made me think, wow, maybe this is something I can do. I went and talked to my cardiologist and she helped me figure out how to get involved with Bees of Courage as an adult.
Okay. So does your hospital take part in the Bees of Courage program?
Because I'm an adult, it's a little bit different. We have the Masonic Children's Hospital. It's the children's pediatric hospital for the University of Minnesota. But I go to the adult hospital. So they do not, but Masonic does. So I get my beads through the mail. There's a beads in the mail program. And I fill out a little Google Doc and I mail it in. And then they send me the beads back that I burn.
Tell me what role you feel these beads have played in your medical journey.
I feel like for me, they recognize everything that I've been through. They help me to remember things that obviously I have no memory of because I was so little when I had my first surgery.
Right. And you're 32 now. So that was 13 years before the program even came into existence.
Yeah, I'll be 33 this year.
Yeah. Oh, well, good. Congratulations.
Thank you. They, for me, helped me to remember everything that happened when I was a kid and when I was a baby, but also now everything that I've gone through with my heart journey, all the really good things, but in other things like losing a friend, because she couldn't get a double lung and heart transplant. So they helped me to remember every little thing that has been good, but also bad about my PhD journey. And it's never really bad. It's just there's some things that are a little bit hard. They helped me signify that and show everything that I go through in a very visual way.
Okay. I've seen some pictures. And in fact, Beth was kind enough to send me some pictures of the Bees of Courage program for me to use when we're promoting this episode. And there were some little kids with gigantic necklaces. Do you string all of your beads on one string or do you keep them in a jar or how do you display your beads?
I myself like to string them. Every time that they send out beads to me, they include string to put them on. Some people would rather not do it that way, but that's just how I feel the best way to represent, because you're never not able to see one of the beads that you've earned. So mine are all on necklaces, and I think actually you might have seen some of mine. I know I showed you the last shipment when I got it in.
Okay. Well, it makes sense to string beads on a necklace. That's what a lot of people think about. But I think one of the pictures that Beth shared with me was a cute little boy who had a necklace. And I thought, I don't know if boys would necessarily want to keep doing that once they hit a certain age, because it may not be cool. But there are other things that you could do with the beads. You could use them in other ways.
Yeah. So you definitely can use them in a variety of ways. I know of some kids, like you said, like boys, technically, when they get older, they might not want to do the necklace. I've seen some older adult males with CHD that made a wooden box, and each little slot was one bead. And so they would put up in there it's very individualized. And I really like that about Beats Referred, because you're wanting to tell your journey.
Right.
And while you may have friends, family, whatever, that also see it, their journey and your journey are going to be completely different.
Sure. Brianna, I always love hearing from Beads of Courage members and how they wish to display their beads. As a clinician in the hospital, when introducing the program, they would say to us, so what do we do with these beads now? And I said, well, here's the deal. Beads are a form of art, and you're the artist. And these pieces of art are very special because they're infused with your good intentions and your courage. And so do what you need to with them. Traditionally, people would string them on the string that we give you. So they might turn into a necklace. We've seen garland. Definitely around the holidays, do people share photos of the garland on their Christmas tree, which is their Beads of Courage collection.
Oh my goodness.
Sometimes they're still in the hospital with their Christmas tree and there's their beads. But the beads become art too. And so we also encourage people to hang their beads in their room, or like the garland, the Christmas tree, because it becomes an encouragement to you for you to see them while you're walking into clinic or while you're at the hospital. But other people have displayed them in memory boxes, scrapbook boxes. I don't know how to describe them. That are like 3D that you can drop them in the top. And then just as they fall, they create this beautiful pattern of the glass beads. And so we're always excited to see from our Beads of Courage members how they're displaying their courage. Because you're right, not everybody wants to have the necklace piece. And so I just love to get that feedback. How is it that you are displaying your courage?
Yeah, I would be afraid that the string would break and then I'd have beads all over the place. So I like the idea of the box and being able to put them in the box. And then you can display that wherever you want to. That's really cool.
The other thing I can mention, I guess, is when Beth was talking, it triggered this in my head and my thought process. I was given the opportunity to get a wooden jar that was made and donated to me. And so all of my beads, yes, are on string, they're in necklace form, but all of my necklaces are in that wooden jar that came directly from Beads for Courage.
Oh, that's so precious. As we're talking, I'm thinking you could make a necklace perhaps for each year. And then you could see where you had some years that were really good and didn't require as much courage. And there were some years that were really challenging and you had to have a lot more courage because there were a lot more procedures. So there are so many different ways that you could do that and make it part of your narrative. That's one of the things that I liked hearing about when I was learning about the Beads of Courage program, was that this gives you a chance to actually put vocabulary, to put words on some of the things that are happening to you when you may be really scared and may not be processing what those words are.
Here, some people would use them for garland. What I've done in the past is this last year I got a little mini, it's like 2-3 feet tree. And I used my Beads for Courage as the garland type tinsel on there. But then I took little plastic tree ornaments and I wrote different words that I associate with my beads onto the ornament. And those were hung onto the tree along with the beads.
Oh, my goodness. You know what that makes me think of, too? My son, Alex, absolutely loves Legos. And I found these plastic ornaments that had Legos in them. And they were a gift. But then you could take the Legos out and you can make a little dinosaur, a little reindeer. But you could use a plastic container like that and put your beads in it and then hang it as an ornament. That would be really cool. I love the fact that this is art and that you're encouraged to display the art the way you want to, because just because you display it one way one day doesn't mean you have to do the same thing the next day. It's actually very flexible.
Yeah, it's very individualized. And some people prefer to like just straight write on the ornament or to put like little pieces of paper that were stuck inside a clear plastic ornament with the word on it. I see people do it with paint markers. Everybody is just different, and it's more up to you how individualized you want it to be and how much you want it to tell your journey and your story.
I think that everything that we're discussing is truly the purpose of the Beads of Courage program, that it is an arts and medicine program. And so we are all aware of the healing properties of art, that it boosts your emotions, it provides some positive outlet for emotions, being expressive in some way. And I also wanted to comment that our arts and medicine program is enhanced by artist partners. Anna mentioned the wooden bowl. So we partner with the American Association of Woodturners. They call them lidded boxes. So we're very proud of our partnership with artists such as the woodturners. We have stitchers who sew the cloth bead bags that people will collect their beads in when given, when maybe they haven't decided how they want to display them yet. To bead artists who create handmade glass beads and handmade polymer clay beads that we incorporate into our program. Those beads actually become some of the most valuable beads because they're called Act of Courage. And so although all the beads mean courage, this particular bead is the bead that's given on that day when you truly need that extra boost of encouragement. And they're meant to stand out, and they're made by experts in the field of glass bead making. And so that's one way how Beads of Courage brings the worldwide community together to collaborate, enhance our arts and medicine program. So we're always grateful for those donors who send those items into Beads of Courage so that we can distribute them to those who are in our Beads of Courage program.
Heart to Heart with Anna is a presentation of Hearts Unite the Globe and is part of the HUG Podcast Network. Hearts Unite the Globe is a nonprofit organization devoted to providing resources to the congenital heart defect community to uplift, empower, and enrich the lives of our community members. If you would like access to free resources pertaining to the CHD community, please visit our website at www.congenitalheartdefects.com for information about CHD, the hospitals that treat children with CHD, summer camps for CHD survivors, and much, much more.
Anna Jaworski has written several books to empower the congenital heart defect, or CHD, community. These books can be found at Amazon.com or at her website, www.babyheartspress.com. Her bestseller is The Heart of a Mother, an anthology of stories written by women for women in the CHD community. Anna's other books, My Brother Needs an Operation, The Heart of a Father, and Hypoplastic Left Heart Syndrome, A Handbook for Parents, will help you understand that you are not alone. Visit babyheartspress.com to find out more.
In this segment, let's talk about what we've learned in working with people who are utilizing the Beads of Courage program. Rihanna, you're now an adult, but you're the one who talked to me about this program, so what's the most important lesson you've learned from working with the Beads of Courage program?
We all have such a unique, individualized journey, and our Beads for Courage really are a visual representation that are as unique as our journey. Like Beth was mentioning the clay polymer bead. I have a little baby Yoda clay polymer bead that came in my
life. Wait a minute. You had in your last shipment of beads, because you're in the Beads by Mail program.
Yeah.
You got a baby Yoda.
I got a little Yoda thing. Yeah. I'll take a picture of it after this and send it to you guys so you can see it. Yeah. And a little Yoda.
Okay. Somebody had a lot of fun with that bead if they made a baby Yoda out of it.
Definitely. And it's a really good bead, like very high quality.
Okay. What does Yoda represent?
Well, to me, it's kind of twofold. Because I grew up in and out of the hospital, I grew up really liking to read.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, things like Harry Potter, Star Wars, Divergent, any kind of huge book series like that are something that I usually have read. But also for me, it represents the fact that I'm not the only one that these beads really stand for. I have two older brothers. They're 8 and 10 years older than me. And my oldest brother is so into Star Wars, it's not even funny. He absolutely knows anything and everything Star Wars related.
Okay.
And so for me, when I see that bead, I think about him and the sacrifices him and our middle brother made because they were already 8 and 10 when I was born. And then they had to go live with grandma and grandpa for like a week because my parents were down at the hospital. So it's like kind of twofold where it's like, yeah, it represents my love of reading, my love of fandoms, my love of everything like that. But it also represents everything that my brothers went through in order for me to actually have the life that I do have and the quality of life.
Okay, so do you get to pick the beads that you get? Or were you shocked to see that Yoda bead in there and it just became part of your
kit? No, we don't pick them. There is a little Kiefer pamphlet. And it shows what each color of bead represents.
Okay.
So, like, the EKGs are glow-in-the-dark bead.
What's fun! Okay.
Black is, like, needle stick, that kind of thing. You earn your beads based on what happens with you. So you know which colors you're going to be getting, but you do not know, like, the challenge beads. Those are, they're bumpy beads that are there to basically say, hey, this may have been a little bit of a rough patch in the road, a little bit bumpy. But you overcame that challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And each of the challenge beads is different as to how it's made. And the only unifying thing is really those little bumps on them.
Okay, that makes sense. Well, I'm curious, Brianna, you didn't start taking part in this Beads of Courage program till you were an adult for good reason. It didn't exist when you were a baby or a little kid. So that was one reason why you couldn't take part in it. But when I was telling my son that I was getting ready to do this program and I was asking him if he would be interested in the Beads of Courage program, he said, Mom, I don't consider myself a heart warrior or a heart survivor. I'm just me. And he said, and I don't consider myself particularly brave. I had to get that IV in my arm. I had to have that open heart surgery or I wouldn't be alive. And so I'm wondering how you feel about that perspective, Brianna. And then we'll let Beth tell us her perspective as a child life specialist.
I can see where your son is coming from. We grow up in this life. Obviously, we have a heart defect and the day we are born until the day we die. That's just how it is.
Yep.
I can see where he's like, well, it's just something I had no choice in. I have to do it. But I also feel like, what is courage? There's not really a standard definition for that word. We all just kind of know that, oh, okay, this looks to fit my personal definition of courage. This helps me remember X, Y, or Z. And so Alex may not want that. He doesn't want to keep a memory or memories of his journey because this is just his life. Other people love that they can show and visually represent all the different little things that really make them that.
Mm-hmm. From a child life perspective, Beth, what do you think of the people who might say, no, I don't consider myself courageous? People who are courageous are firemen, policemen, warriors, yeah, real warriors like soldiers. What would you say to those people?
I can say as a child life specialist that happened a lot in the hospital. I remember specific stories of smaller children who would be having a procedure and they would say to us afterwards, you know, I wasn't very brave. I cried the whole time. And, you know, it was our job as clinicians to support their emotions and say, you know what, it's okay to cry. That's an awesome coping strategy for you. But what you don't realize is that you were brave, that you did display courage. When people are suffering and they are undergoing extreme challenges, they often feel very alone and isolated. Yeah. And you don't even know that you have courage until you have to use it sometimes. When you're in those moments, you're experiencing fight, flight, or freeze. So it's your body's job to focus on the negative and try to avoid it if you can. Obviously, sure, you can't if it's a procedure or a needle poke, but that's why we practice coping strategies so that we can get over the fight or flight. Don't want you doing that during those things. But also, it's not essential for your body's survival is to focus on the positive or to also recognize what strength and courage is there. But we know that it is important for survival to recognize those things. And so as clinicians, we use the Beads of Courage program to visually and tangibly show you. So if you can't see it yourself, We will be there to remind you of it verbally, but we will leave you with beads as objects that show you what used to be invisible is now visible, that you have courage and you can get through anything with your courage and strength.
It feels to me like it's a way of validating that child's experience. And I learned from you recently, too, that you don't just have beads for the patients, but you have beads for other people in the community. Can you tell me a little bit about those programs, too?
Oh, sure. So our mission at Beads of Courage is to support children and teens coping with serious illness, but also their families and the clinicians who care for them. So we've been talking a lot about the flagship program and also the opportunity to receive the flagship program in the Beads in the Mail program like Brianna does. So people can get that either because their member hospital is a partner with us and have them there, or they can look at our Beads in the Mail program on our website and they can look at getting beads in the mail direct from us. And the way that works is for a donation to support the cost of the beads and the shipping. And if people aren't able to do that, then we do have a wait list. And how they get removed from the wait list is because we have community wingmen. We call them that because it's anybody who would want to donate to Beads of Courage for the wingman campaign. The idea is when you are coping with a serious illness, you never fly alone. You always have a wingman with you. And so our wingman donors are the ones that remove our Beads of Courage members from the wait list so that they can receive their beads in the mail. But in addition to that flagship program, we have a sibling program, and that's designed to provide recognition and support of a sibling's emotional journey when they're impacted by the serious illness of their brother or sister. One of the things we're very excited about with our sibling program is right now we're able to offer it for free. The generosity of our national sibling program donor, the Scarselli Family Foundation. We have information on our website under the sibling program where you meet with our child life specialist who's the lead for that program, and she will orient you to the program and then give you a free code to order the program in our shop to support on our website.
I love that so much. I have children who are 3 years apart. And so poor Joey, when he was 3 years old, went through two open heart surgeries with his brother. Oh. And his brother was just an infant, so he didn't really know that not all infants go through this, but Joey knew his entire routine was completely upended. He had to go and stay with his Aunt Susan and Aunt Chrissy, and he had to go to daycare for the first time because mommy was in the hospital with his little brother, and it was very stressful. He was so instrumental in Alex's healing, and it sounds like this Beads of Courage program would honor him and his journey alongside his brother's medical journey.
That's exactly right, Anna. The message to siblings is that you are not alone either, and we see you right alongside your brother or sister receiving treatment and going through those experiences. And so it's an opportunity to say, you know what, you're special too, and we have beads for you.
I love that. This shows the interconnectedness of our stories, and also that the stories are continuing because you can still add more beads on later. And I love that. Well, this has been so informative. Thank you so much, Beth, for sharing with us what the Beads of Courage program is, how it's been expanding over the 19 years it's been in existence, and how it's not just a program for giving, but it's also a program for sharing and for accepting gifts from the community. I absolutely love that.
Yeah, thank you so much, Anna, for the opportunity.
Brianna, thank you so much for introducing me to Beth and to the entire Beads of Courage program. You have been amazing.
You are welcome. I'm glad we could do this. It's a lot of fun to get to talk to you ladies and to really discuss the positive and optimism of this program.
Oh, I can understand why you love it so much. When you first started telling me about it, I didn't really understand the significance, but now I totally get it and I am on board. This is amazing. Friends, that does conclude this episode of Heart to Heart with Anna. Thanks for listening today. If you've enjoyed this episode, please consider becoming a patron. Our patrons help us to keep programming free to everyone, and now we're also providing hard copy materials to people in languages other than English in places where internet service is not a given. Remember, my friends, you are not alone.
Thank you again for joining us this week. we hope you have become inspired and empowered to become an advocate for the congenital heart community. Heart to Heart with Anna, with your host, Anna Jaworski, can be heard at any time, wherever you get your podcasts. A new episode is released every Tuesday from noon Eastern Time.